First Presidency Message, Prophets to Guide Us, by President Thomas S. Monson. A few years ago, I was sitting in the room of the Salt Lake Temple, where the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles meet once a week. I gazed up at the wall which faces the First Presidency, and there I observed portraits of each of the presidents of the church. As I gazed at them, my predecessors from the Prophet Joseph Smith, 1805 to 1844, to President Gordon B. Hinckley, 1910 through 2008. I thought, how grateful I am for the guidance of each one. These are great men who never wavered, never faltered, and never failed. These are men of God. As I think of the modern-day prophets I have known and loved, I recall their lives, their attributes, and their inspired teachings. President Heber J. Grant, 1856 through 1945, was president of the church when I was born. As I contemplate his life and teachings, I believe a trait President Grant always exemplified was that of persistence, persistence in those things which are good and noble. President George Albert Smith, 1870 through 1951, was president of the church during the time I served as bishop of my ward in Salt Lake City. He observed that there is a great tug of war going on between the Lord and the adversary. If you will stay on the Lord's side of the line, he taught, you will be under his influence and will have no desire to do wrong. I was called to serve as a member of the Quorum of the Twelve in 1963 by President David O. McKay, 1873 through 1970. He taught consideration for others by the way he lived his life. True Christianity, he said, is love in action. President Joseph Fielding Smith, 1876 through 1972, one of the church's most prolific writers, had as a guiding principle in his life gospel scholarship. One of the church's most prolific writers had as a guiding principle in his life gospel scholarship. He read the scriptures unceasingly and was as familiar with the teachings and doctrines found within their pages as anyone I have ever known. President Harold B. Lee, 1899 through 1973, served as my state president when I was a boy. A favorite quotation of his was, "Stand ye in holy places and be not moved." He encouraged the saints to be in tune with and responsive to the whisperings of the Holy Ghost. I believe a guiding principle in the life of President Spencer W. Kimball, 1895 through 1985, would be dedication. He was completely, unequivocally dedicated to the Lord. He was also dedicated to living the gospel. When President Ezra Taft Benson, 1899 through 1994, became president of the church, he called me to serve as his second counselor in the First Presidency. Love was his guiding principle, which is embodied in his favorite quotation spoken by the Savior. "What manner of men ought ye to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am." President Howard W. Hunter, 1907 through 1995, was one who always looked for the best in others. Ever was he courteous, ever was he humble. It was my privilege to serve as his second counselor. President Gordon B. Hinckley taught us to do our best. He bore powerful testimony of the Savior and his mission. He taught us with love. Serving as his first counselor was an honor and a blessing for me. The Savior sends prophets because he loves us. During General Conference this October, the general authorities of the church will again have the privilege of sharing his word. We approach this responsibility with great solemnity and humility. How blessed we are that the restored Church of Jesus Christ is upon the earth and that the church is founded upon the rock of revelation. Continuous revelation is the very lifeblood of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we prepare to receive the personal revelation that comes in abundance during General Conference. May our hearts be filled with deep determination as we raise our hands to sustain living prophets and apostles. May we be enlightened, uplifted, comforted, and strengthened as we listen to their messages. And may we be ready to recommit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, His gospel and His work, and to live with renewed resolve in keeping His commandments and carrying out His will. Teaching from this message. President Monson shares powerful lessons he learned from prophets before him. He also reminds us that the Savior sends prophets because He loves us. In ministering to those you teach, you might discuss how prophets and apostles are signs of God's love for us. Consider sharing counsel from one of President Monson's past General Conference addresses. Invite those you teach to prepare for General Conference by reviewing talks that have particularly inspired them and helped them feel the Savior's love. Applying the First Presidency Message to Youth. How has our prophet, President Thomas S. Monson, influenced you? What will you remember most about him? Consider writing in your journal about President Monson and his life, much as he describes in this message the influence of each prophet he remembers. You might also want to choose a favorite quote from him and write it where you'll see it often, like on a school binder or a note in your room. You could even make a picture quote out of it and make it your phone's background. Each time you see the quote, you could reflect on the importance of a living prophet and remember that he is here to love and guide us today. You can download music, We Thank Thee, O God, for a Prophet, at lds.org/go/9176. Applying the First Presidency Message to Children. Prophets guide us to Christ. The Savior gives us prophets because He loves us. Following the prophets helps us choose the right. Which path should the children take to follow the prophet? End of the First Presidency Message, Prophets to Guide Us, by President Thomas S. Monson. Read by David Shaw.